This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
Everyone all set? Cocked, locked, hour number two of USA Prepares. And we're teaching lessons from 5-Minute University, practical applications of scientific principles. And we've got two calls on hold. And when we come back from those calls, we'll be talking about creosote mixed with diesel and engine oil as a wood preservative. And we'll be talking about overvoltage situations and what you can do about it. And I believe this is probably one of the biggest problems that we in America are going to face and are facing right this moment. I'm talking about overvoltage. Charles in Ohio, welcome.
Good morning, Vincent, Carl. Hope you're both well. I just call. I'll keep it short. I know you got other calls. Every time you speak about the recovering losses from flue pipes, the wood gasifier comes to mind, and there's several ways to do it. You know, you can just take flue gas right off your stove, but of course you don't want to filter that, but really you could put – you want to put your wood in an enclosed vessel, and you want to let it outgas. And that gas is more like a synthetic natural gas because gasification is a producer gas or a manufactured gas. So that gas can be used. And plus, like you said, always say, your wood is wet. And see that when that evaporates, it's more of a gas that contains a lot of combustibles that can be burnt. And so that could be utilized, and you dry your wood out, and then you can burn it, too.
Well, one comment, Charles. So we've mentioned at USA Prepares that you're talking about wood gasifiers. Literally, class, you could take the exhaust from a wood stove. So, for example, our wood stove, is, as I mentioned, is like a storage shed with a firebox 4 feet by 5 feet. So it's a large firebox, and smoke comes out of it. And I could take a pipe, kind of like a car exhaust pipe, and I could hook that up to a filter. And the filter could be a 55-gallon steel barrel filled with straw. And I could let the exhaust go into the bottom of that 55-gallon steel barrel, sealed with a removable lid, and have an outlet at the top, or near the top, and I could plumb that into the intake of a generator. I'm talking about one of those pull-start generators, maybe 5 horsepower, maybe 3.5 horsepower, maybe 11 horsepower. And if I use some starting fluid to get that engine to run, just to get it to start, it could run on the exhaust smoke from a wood stove because of the unburned hydrocarbons. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yes, exactly. And it's not the fuel that's polluting. It's just the way we utilize them. We, like you were saying, when we think they're abundant, we be careless with our use of them. But if we want to be careful, we can use stuff and we can use it economically and make a difference.
You know, there's a series, television series, and you might have seen one or two of these episodes called Combat! Exclamation point from the 1960s with Vic Morrow and Rick Jason. It was about a rifle squad in France toward the end of the war walking everywhere. And every once in a while, they'd be able to get in a motorized vehicle. And once in a while, you would see at night them in a truck made by the French. And this truck had right behind the front passenger side wheel a wood fire. And you could see the flames running at night as this truck traversed these dirt roads. Literally, this was a wood-fired, wood-powered truck. Bigger than a pickup truck. Way bigger. A box truck. And literally, this thing ran on wood smoke. Exactly what we're talking about. So when Kyle said during hour number one that the first Impala started, Chevy Impala, and the second one would be able to run off the exhaust gas of the first Impala, Chevrolet Impala. That was the unused, unburned fuel that the second engine was running from. And class, here's something to think about. And this is, when vehicles come into our shop, one of the first things that I look at is the exhaust pipe. Okay? Of course, I look at the body, and as I walk around the body of the vehicle, I want to get the overall impression of what I think the condition is going to be before our son works on it. You know, I'm just being a manager or an administrator or an advisor or just a spectator. And I look at the exhaust pipe. And if the exhaust pipe of a relatively modern vehicle is very, very light tan with no flaky substance in there, nothing that, you know, you could put your finger on and remove and have it stick to your finger, that engine's running right. If it's very, very light tan with no residue or soot of any kind. If it is black, I know that there's a problem with one of two things, or both. One, it's burning oil, meaning the rings or valve seals have a problem. Or two, it's burning too much fuel. It's always one of those two. And I know that the engine's not running right if the tailpipe is sooty. I know that. Now, getting back to the first part that Kyle talked about, the first Impala being able, through its exhaust inefficiencies, running the second Impala, what Detroit did to prevent that from happening is they added an air pump. They pumped fresh air, atmospheric air, right at the exhaust manifold where the exhaust came out of the exhaust port of each cylinder of the engine. They set it on fire in the exhaust manifold. And they did it because the exhaust manifolds were made out of cast iron and they could take that extreme additional heat. But literally, they set on fire the unburned exhaust hydrocarbons, the unburned fuel from the engine, the fuel that the engine wasted, and set it on fire in the exhaust system. And that wasn't enough. They added a catalytic converter, which would take the unburned fuel and set it on fire at about 1,500 degrees. That was their answer to using or consuming the unburned fuel. They didn't think about, let's make the engines more efficient so we don't have this problem in the first place. They just added accessories onto the engine that cost more fuel consumption to clean up the unburned hydrocarbons. Charles?
I got to disagree there.
No, come on.
I think the factory and the manufacturers knew all this stuff. They had.
Oh,
they
okay.
Tried,
I thought you were
tested.
I thought you were disagreeing with what I said they did.
Oh no, they did that, but they knew how to make. They know all this stuff. They've done so much research. That's why even though I don't like electric cars, I think, and I don't think they may not be able to get it launched this time. But if you take if you look, there's so many people who have built their own successfully, and so many people that know tricks to get around a lot of the problems with them that it will be overcome, but it'll be a long time before they equal internal combustion engine. It's the thing, if you're going to generate power, you generate it and use it at the point of use rather than at a generating station hundreds of miles away or at some distance. It's a loss, and that's why the overcapacity, because, see, it relates, I didn't want to take up this much, but it relates to what you were saying, that in your home, you use that smaller fuel burner that takes longer to heat up. Well, it's the same thing with the generation station. It has to have overcapacity for immediate demand of a lot of people. And that's where you come into waste. That's why when you have a cogenerator, you can get away with a very small engine because it'll run constantly and you can use the generation and the waste heat at the same time.
That's a really good point you're bringing up. So we have a 1999 Dodge Cummins turbo diesel pickup truck, 3/4 ton. It's called a Ram 2500. That thing will get 29.9 miles to the gallon with the tailgate off at 55 miles per hour. You take a brand new pickup truck, one of these big, pushed out, massive, aggressive looking beasts, these ugly things that are being built today by General Motors, Ram, and Ford. They don't get anywhere near the miles per gallon that we get because of the inefficiencies, correct?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And because the engines, you know, 0 to 60, these things are really fast. Well, if you want really fast, you are going to be carrying around extra engine, extra fuel consumption that you don't need most of the time. So if you're willing to accept less acceleration, less torque, but in favor of more miles per gallon, you can get it. And we have it built in 1999 with 400,000 miles on it, and it still gets 29.9 miles to gallon empty. Pulling a heavy trailer with a car on it or a truck on a trailer, we get 17 point something, somewhere between 17.2 and 17.7 miles per gallon, pulling another truck on a car haul or trailer. You can't even get 17 miles to the gallon on a new truck. Empty. And that brings to mind one other point, and I wanted to say this with Kyle on the phone. I'm glad you're with us, Charles. And that is, there are people who think that if you have a generator, and that generator is running at 3,600 RPM. I'm talking about a generator, a standby or an emergency generator. And it has a single-cylinder engine, for example. And you start that engine and it comes up to 3,600 RPM, which is the necessary RPM for 60-cycle AC current. If you're running that engine at 3,600 RPM, which is mandatory to generate the proper voltage and frequency of AC, some people think that if you have that engine loaded or not, meaning you've got a load attached to it, and it's actually powering a refrigerator and lights and, you know, other devices, that it will use the same amount of fuel as if it's running with nothing attached to it. Not true. Not true. And I'll prove it to you. So if you have a bicycle and you are pedaling that bicycle on a level ground and you're just plodding along, going on flat terrain, and you're cranking that pedal once every 2 seconds, one full revolution of the pedal every 2 seconds. And then you start to go uphill, and you want to maintain that same gear, and you want to maintain that same pedal revolution of once every 2 seconds, you're going to use way more effort to go uphill. Same thing with the generator. You're going to use way more energy to power a load. We'll be right back.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Yeah. I'm thinking that, boy, in a little over a half an hour, they're going to make me go to work. Time flies when we're on the air, at least for me. Charles, any other quick comments before we go to Greg?
No, I know you're busy. I'll let you go.
Charles, thanks so much. I'm looking forward to teaching class with you. Let me know what your schedule has in store for us in the next couple of weeks, okay?
Good.
Wonderful. Thank you, Charles.
Bye.
Charles, USA Prepares instructor in Ohio. Greg in Utah, welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Vince. Yeah, two subjects that you really interest me in. One of them, you know, let's go back to the wood and coal burning stove. There's an art to, you know, using a stove. And what I mean is that if you don't do things correctly, I had a friend, some people that I know living in a cabin off grid who the entire cabin burned down because of a chimney fire. One thing I put onto my chimney was a little mechanical device, and it uses a coil of metal, and it shows you the temperature of your chimney. And you'll notice on it that it's got a black area, it's got a yellow area, and it's got a red area. Of course, the yellow area is caution. The red area is too hot, which, you know, means danger, of course. When I start my stove, I would get it into the yellow area before I damper it because I wanted a good roaring fire, and then I'd damper it down so the flames would slow down and I could, that fire would burn completely, you know, until it was just ashes. But, there was two tools that I always had I always had a bucket of sand, just as a precaution, in case things got out of control. I could open up that stove and put out the fire itself, a fire extinguisher up the chimney, and then, of course, damper it and shut all oxygen supply off, should that ever occur. And I've never had to use the bucket of sand because I've always been attentive to what I've been doing. But, and by the way, you're talking about wood gas. Smoke is unburned fuel. And that's what you use to run your, what they call a wood gas engine. Just what you're talking about, filtering the smoke, so on and so forth. But, I don't think people realize, you know, I've done that before. I've actually gone outside and seen it look like a jet engine, my chimney blowing fire out. And that was the last time I allowed that to happen. All the creosote or the unburned fuel that was stuck on the inside of the chimney was on fire and burning. I was quickly able to put that out by dampering the stove, completely shutting off all the oxygen. But on the other subject of generation, you were talking about efficiency in generating. The reason I decided to build my own generator was because running a generator for power is one of the most inefficient forms of producing power. And what I mean by that is that this engine runs at a certain RPM and you're generating a lot more power than you're probably using. So if you wanted to get away from that, you would build, say for instance, my voltage runs off of 12 volts. So I built a 12 volt generator because running a 110, 220 generator to put voltage back into my batteries, you'll notice that the fuel consumption is much, much greater than it is to just run it direct. So if you do run a generator, and because fuel is so expensive, make sure you have a battery bank and an inverter that you can charge up if you're running it for power. Because when you run out, instead of all that fuel going to waste, put it into a battery bank, which you can use sometimes up to a day. And I'll get your thoughts on that on the other side of this.
Well, we've got Greg, Kyle, and I've got more material than we can cover. So maybe we can cover that tomorrow when you're on with us during hour number one. Will that be okay with you?
We'll definitely do that.
All right, we'll do that. Kyle and I will be back, and we're going to be talking about AC overvoltage. I'd like to talk to him about a DC generator. And
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
USA News Update. More bad news on the inflation front. The producer price index measures the prices of products sold as they leave the producer. January's number declined to 6% from 6.5% in December. The Justice Department has stepped up work in recent months on drafting a potential antitrust complaint against Apple Incorporated. The investigation into whether Apple has a monopoly power that it abuses began in 2019 when enforcers have escalated their efforts in recent months, with more litigators now assigned to the case. Six-time NBA champion Michael Jordan is celebrating his 60th birthday tomorrow. Jordan is celebrating by making a $10 million donation to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. The thankful organization says it's the largest donation ever received from an individual in the organization's 43-year history. Lance Pry, USA News.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how did it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
800-503-8625.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelly.
Okay, so we're in the last half hour of today's broadcast class. There are three topics that we'll be discussing. One is creosote and making your own creosote to preserve wood posts in the ground. I don't think the EPA likes this, but the railroad does it, and the power companies do it, and they treat their power poles and railroad ties with creosote, which is unburned tar from wood fires mixed with some kind of a vehicle like oil or diesel fuel, and the railroad ties or the ends of the power poles are soaked in it, and insects just flat out hate it. They don't like it, and they don't want to take the second bite. So what we do is we take creosote, mix it with used engine oil, because what are we going to do with the used engine oil? Send that off to some ship to burn it and pollute the air? We'd rather use that to prevent our wood posts that are in the ground from rotting. So we simply just mix creosote with diesel engine oil, if it's used in our parts cleaner, or we use engine oil with it and paint it on to the post, or we have a bucket and we set the post in it and let it soak in for a week or so. Farmers have been doing that for about 50 years at least. Kyle, any comments?
Yeah, exactly, Vince. I do exactly the same thing. Just going to say, you know, I'll get a 5 or if I can find a 6 gallon bucket, I like them better because I like to put the post. I will have them soaking in that for about a week. I'll use that. The other thing, folks, that you can use is in your wood stoves, once you get all the ashes, eventually you're going to have to clean the ash out of your wood stove. And if you take that ash and make sure there's no hot coals, usually we put it in a metal bucket. We'll scoop it out of there and put it in a metal bucket or two when we do it. And we'll let it set for a day or two and make sure that it's dead. You know, there's no live coals in there. We have a rubber tub in both of our chicken coops. We have two coops. And we will put those bucket of those ashes in that rubber tub. And them chickens will jump into them ashes and fluff around in them, and it'll dry their feathers and get rid of parasites and stuff on them. And they absolutely love that when they can't get out in the dirt like they can in the summertime, because in the summertime they'll just be all over in the dirt, fluffing everything up, creating a dust bowl. But in the wintertime, we got foot and a half of snow on the ground. So anyway, that's what we'll use the ash for as well.
Interesting you say that. So we have our outdoor wood furnace, and what we have is a cattle panel that we formed into a circular fence. So it's about a 16-foot long cattle panel, and we just tied the end together to make a circle out of it. And then what we do is we lift that off our pile of ash, which is a shovel away from the outdoor wood furnace. And it's right next to a hydrant. What we do is we take that ash and we scoop out the center like a volcano, and we put the new hot ash in the pile of the old cold hot, or the old cold ash. And we put the fence around it so the animals and chickens and dogs won't go sniffing and burn themselves. And then we cool it with the hydrant, the hose on the hydrant. Then when we take that fence off, the chickens will just sun themselves in that black charcoal and ash. Exactly what you're talking about. We didn't teach them how to do it. They do it all by themselves, and they love it. And you know, I'm wondering, like, what are they thinking? But it actually does work, and it does exactly what you said. Next topic. I have a DC generator, and there was a guy who was on the internet, and he had a 48-volt DC generator, really an alternator, and it's 7.5 kilowatts. This thing was originally used by a company. It's an industrial generator. It has some sensors to sense when it should power up, but it's powered by propane. And I kind of like that because I'd rather have the diesel fuel for the tractor in an emergency. So I'd rather use propane. And propane is less expensive per BTU. So propane works really well. It's clean burning. And this particular generator generates 48 volts DC, which is actually it's more like 56 volts, which is pretty good for charging 48 volt battery banks, which is what we have. Kyle, have you ever installed one of these things, a propane powered?
I have not, Vince. No, I haven't.
Okay. I saw it on the internet and I was scratching my head thinking, what a great idea. I don't have to take a generator at 120 volts or 240 volts and then hook it up to a charger and bring it down to 48 volts. I can avoid that whole step and just go with this fairly high efficiency propane generator. So because I haven't gotten it working yet, I haven't tried to get it working, but I have it. And it was so cheap, nobody wanted it. Who the heck wants a 48-volt generator? Not only that, in DC, okay? Who would be able to use a 48-volt DC generator? Very few people. Only people with solar power or a battery bank of 48 volts would be able to use it. So this thing was yeah, I guess, a great find. Almost, not quite as great as the finds that Kyle has, or but it's getting close. It's getting close. Well, that was okay. So that was one of the questions, right? So the next thing, Kyle, is I am hot on the pursuit of this overvoltage situation. And we have lost equipment, and I'm livid. The equipment that we are losing because of the overvoltage from the grid, as high as 135.7 volts, typically in our kitchen, I've got equipment measuring it. It's just bumping up to 126 volts. It's too high. It is killing. It's killing our refrigeration compressors. So we have some older chest freezers. Made with the label Montgomery Wards, made with the label Kenmore. These are Whirlpool devices. Outstanding. But they are stamped with the voltage label and the ampere label. They're stamped 115 volts. And, class, you might remember me saying this, and please don't think this is a broken record. I think this is so important. I think people don't know about this. This is the next catastrophe. Actually, it's in play right now. So originally, the voltage from the power generation companies back in the early days, the late 1800s, from the utility company, if you will, 100.0 volts, 100. And what the utility companies and the end users found in their homes was that because of the power distribution in the homes, the home wiring was not adequate with the fuse boxes or the fuse panels back then to power all the devices. So the bulbs lit dimly. And then the electric motors didn't run properly because of the low voltage condition, because 100 volts starting at the transformer outside the house, once it left the transformer at 100 volts, by the time it got through the house wiring and the other devices were demanding of that same wiring in the house, the voltage dropped to the point where the devices weren't working properly. It was too low. So they bumped the voltage to 110 volts. That's why your grandparents and parents talk about 110, 110, 110, because it was 110. And then that wasn't enough. They, with more appliances, more devices, they bumped it to 115 volts. That's why they called it 115, 115, 115. And they called it 110 because 110 and 110 is 220. So they called it 110 and 220. But then it was 115 and 230. Because 115 volts and 115 with both legs of the North American wiring plan would be twice the one leg voltage. So 115 plus 115 is 230. Then they went to 117 volts. Then they went to 120 volts. And that's why they called it 120 and 240. Well, the 120 is 120 volts, and the standard is plus or minus 5%. So 120 volts minus 5% brings you down to 114 volts. We never see that. We always see an overvoltage situation. The plus side of the 120 volts plus or minus 5% would be 120 plus 5%, which is 6 volts, 126. That's what we're seeing. And that 126 volts is blowing up, overheating our refrigeration compressors that are rated for 115 volts. Now, who's at fault? Is it my fault because the equipment I have was built for the grid back when the grid was 115 volts? Or is it the utility's fault for raising the grid voltage without telling anybody? We've lost multiple freezers. Our refrigerator's on its last legs, so that's three devices so far. And if I go to replace the two freezers that have blown compressors because of overheating, because the voltage is too high, I can get a shiny new one made in China, which will probably last 5 years if we're lucky and fortunate. So we have had all kinds of devices burn out because of overvoltage conditions. And I submit to you that you would be hard-pressed to find people who have not had an appliance failure in the last few years. Kyle, any comments?
Well, I'm the only one I know of right now. I know a couple of neighbors of mine. But I checked my voltage, too, Vince, around here, and I was running 123.6 in this neck of the woods. So it's interesting. I don't know whether or not because of, you know, being more populous back east, you know, or in the Midwest and east, if the voltages are running any higher there than, you know, where I'm at up here. I don't know how that works, but I think it would be an interesting thing to consider, you know, if there's different generations for different parts of the country. But I do know I've checked mine a couple of different times, and both times it's come out exactly at 123.6.
Okay. In our kitchen, I have the refrigeration that's running normally is connected to a line conditioner. Now, a line conditioner is not a surge protector. A line conditioner, in my world, is a voltage correction device. So, a surge is a transient, really short duration. We're talking about thousandths of a second. And a transient could be 600 volts, 1,000 volts, 1,500 volts. It's a spike. It comes in real fast and goes away really fast. And because it's so short, a surge protection device or a surge protector can attenuate that down to 330 volts. And it's so short, it doesn't do much damage at 330 volts. But a constant over-voltage condition, like 126 volts, 130 volts, can do a lot of damage.
Big news from Newsmax. AT&T's DirecTV just removed Newsmax. Now you can't watch Newsmax on DirecTV or UVerse. With OAN gone last year, that's two conservative channels removed in the past year alone. Newsmax is the fourth highest rated cable news channel, with great programs from Greg Kelly, Greta Van Susteren, and Rob Schmidt. Now millions of DirecTV subscribers can't watch them on Newsmax. President Trump, Mike Huckabee, John Voight, Sarah Palin, Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, and many more are demanding that Newsmax be returned to DirecTV. Stand up for free speech. Call AT&T and DirecTV now and let them know you want Newsmax. Call toll-free 877-NEWSMAX and we'll connect you to DirecTV. If you're not a DirecTV subscriber but support Newsmax and free speech, call 877-NEWSMAX to show your support. Dr. Ben Carson says our freedoms are at stake. He urges you to stand up for Newsmax. Call 877-NEWSMAX today.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Kyle's list, I found the classroom. So, Kyle, when I lived in Virginia, I measured the voltage, and it was, you know, 17 years ago, and the voltage was around 117 volts. We lived at the end of the line. So what happens, class, is your electricity is delivered on power lines if you're a subscriber to the grid. And the first guy to get the electricity has typically a higher voltage than the last guy. Well, we were the last guys on the line in rural Virginia, so everybody else had a higher voltage at their outlets in their house than we did. And so we were at 117 volts, which was, you know, barely enough to do the job. It was certainly more than the 115 of years ago, but it was lower than most people have today. Today in Missouri, we are first on the line. And so we get a higher voltage because the voltage drops the farther the transmission lines run down the road. So transformers, you know, boost the voltage up and down as the, depending on whether you're a consumer of the electricity or whether there's a transmission transformer boosting and reducing the current. But what we're seeing now is close to 126 volts more often than we'd like. And we've got monitoring equipment in our kitchen. And I was talking to Mrs. Finelli during the previous break, and I said, are you saying that the voltage is in, you know, above the high range, and there's a LED bar graph that says very low, normal, high, very high. So it's really easy to read with these five strip light, TRIPP-LITE line transformer and conditioner. So it automatically looks at the voltage, and if it's too low, it brings it up. If it's just a little bit low, it brings it up. If it's normal, it leaves it alone, just filters it. If it's high, it brings it down. If it's very high, it brings it down some more. So it tries to stay around 120 volts all the time, plus or minus some percentage. And it's way more in line with the voltage that we should be getting than the voltage that we do get from the grid. So I've got three of these darn things running on the refrigeration compressors. And the ones that are blowing are the ones without the voltage regulation. So I just wanted to share that with you. And
you know, I've got one thing, Vince.
Sure.
If you don't mind.
Sure.
People don't realize that the American people have been fleeced for so long. Like we were talking about those old Impalas, you know, they were in cahoots with the oil producing companies, you know, to use these inefficient gasoline engines. And the same thing is true on like your big furnace is so inefficient, and we're being fleeced again, but people are not noticing it. You're just so far ahead of the curve on most of these people that, you know, that their electronics are fixing to get burned up. You're going to be replacing this stuff, and they're causing the collapse of these, all of these appliances for everybody, because nobody else is being, they're coming at you from an area that you don't even, people don't monitor like you do. And you're way ahead of the curve on all of this stuff. And it is a big problem. It's a huge problem. And nobody is talking about it practically but you.
Okay, so here's an interesting thing. Kyle, you are an electrician by trade. You are, you've taken the tests. You've done this for a career. So you are a certified electrician, at the industrial level. So when people buy electricity from the utility company, they pay for it by the watt or the kilowatt. Okay, kilowatt is 1,000 watts. Watts is the sum of, it's actually the product of amps times volts. So if your appliance says 110 volts, that's what it wants. But if it is being supplied with 125 volts, it's getting 15 extra volts that it does not need. And that appliance will take that voltage and either burn up faster, because that extra voltage means that that device is going to consume more current. How much more current? 12%. So when the electric utility company slowly increased the voltage from 110 to 111, 112, 113, 125 or more, they are charging you for the watts that your devices consume, and your devices consume the watts based on amps times volts. That equals watts. So they're getting 12% more revenue for the electricity that you are using, that you have no idea that you are wasting that extra current that they are forcing you to take. Forcing you to take. Unless you have something like what we have, which are these multiple tap voltage transformers to bring the voltage back down. Kyle, is that true?
Absolutely true, Vince. Yep. Not only that, okay, but you get to have to buy new stuff.
Because that extra voltage, which translates to extra watts, translates to extra heat. And that heats up the compressors in the refrigeration. It burns out the light bulbs faster. It burns out everything faster. No question. That's for real, class. And I don't know what we can do about it other than buy voltage regulating transformers, which is what I'm doing. Kyle, thank you so much. I'll see you in a couple weeks.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.